Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? I've just been handed an urgent and horrifying news story. And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
Halford and Bruff.
Wow. You need an army.
On the official home of the Canucks, Sportsnet 650.
There is one main question.
Why are you guys on here?
Yes. But also, how can the Canucks win the Stanley Cup?
Go off, young king.
What? Record levels almost of house positivity. What?
Go off.
Yeah.
What?
As the faceoff comes to the Maple Leaf zone to our right near circle, Canucks win the draw. Tanner Pearson near board shoots and scores. Pearson fires it off the post and in from off the right wing wall. And the Canucks have the first goal of the game. They take a 1-0 lead with 6:32 left in the opening frame.
Pretty good.
Pretty damn good, lads. Yeah!
Alex Edler takes it behind the net. He'll watch the final 5 seconds tick off the clock as the Vancouver Canucks lose their fourth game in a row, dropping every game on this four-game Eastern swing. Tonight, it's 5-1 at the hands of the Maple Leafs.
I am dead inside.
Because we're doing this again. Death, taxes, and Nikita Triamkin signing with the Canucks. Three things that we will never escape in our lives.
What?
Yeah.
Hey. If you don't like it, go to Russia.
Breaking news, Nikita Triamkin is staying in Russia. He signed a 2-year extension with Avto in the KHL.
Here are your hosts, Mike Halford and Jason Brough.
8:03 on a Monday. As mentioned, it is Halford, it is Brough, it is Sportsnet 650. We're not going to waste any time. We're going to go right to the phone line here. Kevin Bieksa joining us here. A presentation of Andrew Sherritt Limited, your plumbing and heating wholesaler, a proud family-owned BC company helping local businesses since 1892. Good morning, Kevin. Happy Monday.
Yep. Morning, guys. How's it going?
Things are good. Kinda. It was a rough weekend in Vancouver. We're not going to lie. It was a very tumultuous. There was a lot of developments over the weekend that weren't good and didn't cast the organization in a positive light and, quite frankly, are very tough to cover. And we started talking about perceptions and the way people think and talk about corporations or businesses, and in this case, organizations. And that's where we wanted to start with you is that, you know, if you were to take this year and what's gone on over the last few months and someone came up to you and said, hey, Kevin, what do you think of the Canucks right now? What would your answer be?
Well, that's tough. I've been a part of the Canucks, and like I said last week, the golden years and the years where we, you know, we had a good reputation on and off the ice. We did a lot of work in the community. We visited children's hospitals. We treated people the right way. So, I mean, I have nothing but good memories. And I mean, I don't know what's going on there now at times, but I'm a positive guy. I'll remember the good times.
No, fair enough. That's actually part of we mentioned this ahead of time. We're like, Kevin's usually pretty positive when it comes to the Canucks. But when it comes to the perception thing, right, is it, I don't know if you've seen the piece, but Aaron Portsline from The Athletic has a piece out about the Columbus Blue Jackets right now. And he wanted to get to the bottom of answering all these questions about why does everyone want to leave Columbus? Why don't players want to be here? And he talked to a bunch of three Columbus players that used to play there, left, and had been at a few different organizations. So from a player's perspective, in your history, let's ask about when you went to Anaheim. I kind of remember you mentioning something last week about maybe that there was a little bit in difference in terms of the fitness regime and fitness level coming from the Canucks to Anaheim. Like, what was your perception of Anaheim before you got there? And then what was it when you arrived in Anaheim?
Well, I mean, I was a guy, when I went to Anaheim, I was a guy who always thought I would never want to go play hockey in California. You know, I'm a Canadian. I like the seasons. I like winter, especially. I grew up skating outside and on frozen lakes, and I just always thought that I wouldn't really enjoy playing in a warm climate and going to the rink. And that changed, obviously, but you know, weather-wise, that was kind of one of my concerns. It was kind of just lifestyle. But as you can see, I haven't left here, so my mind was changed, and I come to really enjoy it and value it. So, I mean, the organization was, everything's going to be a little bit different than you think. And you get something in your mind and you've been a part of something for a long time and it's good and it works. And that's what I don't understand maybe about some parents, especially in minor hockey and in the sports world, like always the grass is greener complex, thinking you know, you have like a good year, you have good coaching, and then next year the parents leave and they bring their kid to a different program looking for something better. The grass is greener when mm-hmm. if you got something good and it fits, then stick with it. So, I mean, but anyways, in my situation, I wasn't able to do that. I had to move, and you're right. Like, I'm not going to sit here and just rag on the Anaheim Ducks organization, because there was a lot of good things there as well. But there was a few differences for sure.
How different are organizations across the NHL? I mean, there must be a general standard in how players are treated. But, you talk to players that have played in different markets, different cities. How different can it be?
You know what I really think influences an organization a lot is there's two things that maybe people won't think about. First thing is the trainers. I think the trainers really influence an organization. They have a lot more pull responsibility than people think. And they're kind of the culture setters in the dressing room. They're the ones that are there every day. They're the first guys there, last ones to leave. And their attitude can be really contagious. If they're in a great mood every day and they're happy and they're working hard and they're selfless and they don't complain, I mean, it's just going to funnel through the whole organization. So I think they're very underrated, having really good trainers in your organization. And second is the alumni. I think the alumni is another one where when you have like a group of great alumni that are around the team and are setting a good example, it cycles through. It's just, you can't do anything other than just follow their lead. So the Canucks have always had a great alumni. From when I first got there, you could see like the guys that were like Jack McElhardy, he was a coach, but he was an alumni, and Kirk McLean and, you know, Trevor and all the guys who do a great job there, you know, Jurke Lume, Dave Babbage, Harold Snaps, like these guys are always around. Steamer, and they're awesome guys. And every time you see them at a charity event, they're in a great mood. People still worship them in the city, as they should. And that's another thing that makes an organization great is the alumni. We don't even have an alumni group in Anaheim here. We've been trying to do one for years, and Brian Allen, who's actually a Vancouver Canucks alumni, he's been trying to put one together here with a little bit of resistance from the team. So it just shows you a little bit, you know, how important that can be.
What about the intensity of market, or, you know, for lack of a better term, I'm pulling this from the Portsline piece. It's like being a rock star somewhere. Cause you know, you went from maybe one extreme to the other, like Vancouver, where it's frenzied and you probably couldn't go out anywhere, anytime without being recognized. And then you go to Anaheim, where I assume that's probably not that big of an issue. You know, guys say there is something appealing about going out on the town and being a big rock star in Toronto, New York, Boston, as opposed to another place where you're just another face and just another guy walking along the street.
Yeah, well, I'm a rock star when I go to Disneyland around here, because all the Vancouver people and Calgary people are there. That's funny. Like you said, down here, nobody knows, you know, like we live in our town, and the people in our town know that like, I played hockey, or I do play hockey when I was in the league. But again, didn't really care too much. And then we would go to Disneyland. My daughter and I used to go for dates all the time. She was 15 minutes away, and people used to come up there all the time and asking for pictures. And my daughter kind of forgot, you know, that hockey was a big deal until we go to Disneyland and all the Vancouver people were there. But, you know, it was something that I think I enjoyed. And I think that was probably one of the reasons I wanted to come here. But I'm not one of those guys that was ever burdened by the autographs and the pictures, and I certainly never complained about it. I enjoyed it. Mm-hmm. And still to this day, if somebody comes up to me, when I was at the Ducks game the other night on Friday, it was the first time I've been back to Honda Center since I retired, and I was with a couple friends, but then my son was there with his buddy, and he was hanging out with us, and his buddy also goes to my hockey academy and plays for me, and people were coming up asking for pictures, and he was, you know, he thought that it was, he's like, why do they want your picture, coach? And well, once upon a time, I used to be a pretty good hockey player, but it's something that I've never been burdened by. And I don't understand some people that are, that think, oh, man, I got to take another picture. Like, oh, I got to have a quick, you know, 20-second conversation with this person. But certainly it's not something that I'm missing, right? Like that I need in my life. I don't need the attention. I could easily just cruise through life and just under the radar, and that's kind of what I do most times here in California.
It might just be personality. I mean, some people are extroverts, some people are introverts. That, you know, they like people or they're not as comfortable with people. But how did most of the guys on the Canucks with you feel about the attention that you got in Vancouver, especially those 2011 years where everyone in the city was talking about the Canucks, and, you know, like, even the guys, the extras, the healthy scratches would be recognized around town?
I think everybody was, well, most guys were pretty good with it. And again, I think that comes back to the alumni and the way the alumni dealt with all the media. And those years, like, you know, 2007 to whatever, 2013, you're right. Like, we were a big deal in the city, where everywhere you went, every coffee shop, you couldn't just go wherever you wanted without people at least just kind of under their breath being like, oh, that guy plays for the Canucks. So, you know, everybody knew who you were. So you always had to be on, right? Like, you couldn't get caught picking your nose in public. You couldn't get caught, you know, yelling at somebody in public. Like, I'm a confrontational guy at times. Like, I don't mind getting into a nice little argument with somebody or a little road rage, but you can't do that stuff when you're constantly under the microscope. And, like, I remember my kids were born in Vancouver, so my kids were, and they're 2 years apart. I had my kids on walks on the seawall where I literally was holding one in one arm, one in the other, and people come up and want to take a picture. And, you know, I have to find a way to put them down somewhere where they're, you know, my daughter wasn't even walking at the time, so I'd sit her down, and 'cause I never wanted my kids in pictures when they were young, and, you know, try to accommodate these fans. And yeah, of course, like, if you're a human, of course that's a little bit annoying at times when you got like a coffee and you got your two kids, but that comes with the territory. And the majority of guys were great with that. There is a couple that were probably a little bit more bothered than others, as I'm sure you can guess, but you know, the Twins were always great with that. I thought me and Burr really enjoyed, you know, the fan interactions, and I like to mess with fans once in a while, as you can imagine, right? Like, it's not just your, oh, hey, how's it going? Like, I used to, like, what are you wearing right now? Or what is that? Or, like, I'd use it for my own little amusement, right? Yeah, they're coming to me for entertainment, but I would just force my own entertainment by just picking them apart.
We're speaking to Kevin Bieksa here on the Halford and Brough Show on Sportsnet 650. While I was trying to come up with things to talk about in the sense of perception and different markets and, you know, what you think versus what the reality is when you get there, you had no trade and no movement clauses through your career. Do you remember, was there a particular market or place that you always had on there, or like specifically had on there, where you're like, I don't want to go there? And do you remember the reason why?
You guys want me to say Columbus for sure.
No, I mean, Buffalo, I feel like that could be in the mix as well. It's always the same places. Every player has the same ones. It's like Winnipeg, Buffalo, Columbus. I feel like that's
Edmonton
always,
sometimes.
Edmonton, yeah.
No, I mean, I never really had one team. Like, I grew up 45 minutes from Buffalo, so I don't think Buffalo would ever been on it. I went to school an hour away from Columbus.
Right.
So, I mean, I don't know. Like, I'm trying to think back. I never really had like one city. I always wanted to play for good teams. That was the one thing, right? Like, I didn't want to go and be like the number one D on a really bad team. Like, I always wanted to go to teams that had really good defensemen. And our Canuck teams, we always had, you know, 5, 6, 7, 8 really good defensemen. Mm-hmm. And I like that. I'd rather do that. I wasn't a guy who had to play 28 minutes a night, you know, because our team sucked. Like, I wasn't like a Shabbat, for instance, right?
Right.
Like, I'd prefer to have guys around me that were really good and I could just slot in. But anyways, city-wise, like, when I signed with the Ducks, I actually made a verbal commitment to San Jose before, and that kind of fell through. Kind of got introduced to the hockey business, the dirty side there. But San Jose, Detroit, Ottawa, and Columbus, those were kind of like the teams that were really coming at me hard. So I was comfortable with all those places. And Ottawa back then still wasn't a very good market. And I thought that there was going to be some changes there and some talent. So it's not like I didn't like the city. And Detroit, you know, at times people don't think that's a great city. I almost got mugged there in a pregame walk, but still probably would have went there. It's the original six. So.
Yeah.
I don't know. I can't really remember too much. I think the Islanders weren't really a great destination back then that I probably wasn't super enthusiastic
right.
to go to. But I always had a no move or no trade, so I didn't have to have that 10-team list or 5-team list and kind of pick one or two teams.
Now that you mentioned it, can we ask you about San Jose?
Yeah, you can ask me about that. I think it's pretty common knowledge.
Okay, well, how exactly did the whole thing unfold?
Well, I don't know if I even actually now. Maybe I'm. Maybe I don't want to talk.
I have never heard this.
I'll just tell a very quick version.
Sure.
With limited details, because again, I'm not a guy who likes to complain.
Sure,
but,
sure, yeah. However you want to spell it out.
I don't know how it happened, but. League understands that I'm going to be traded from Vancouver. First team that calls Jim Benning is San Jose Sharks right away, right out of the gate. And they say, can we talk to him? Blah, blah, blah. And they're like, yes. So they call my agent and they say, we want you. We want you to fly down right away. We want to like sell you. This is where you have to be, blah, blah, blah. So my wife and I was at the end of the season. And the last thing I want to do was go on another road trip. But they flew us into San Fran for the day. Flew us into San Fran, drove down to San Jose, met with a bunch of execs, high execs, and a realtor and everything. And they basically said, you know, sell job. Like, Jumbo wants you here. Marlo wants you here. You're our guy, blah, blah, blah. So I'm like, okay, thank you. Went home, fielded some other offers from some other teams. But then at the end of the day, my wife was like, you know, listen, they want you the most by far. Like, they're committed to you. Like, you have to go there. It was a 3-year extension with the highest amount of money offered. And it just everything, even though like it felt weird because it was San Jose and it was one of our rivals.
Right, right.
And I had some good memories playing against them. We decided to go for it and call them and said, yes, we'd like to take you up your offer, blah, blah, blah. And then eventually ended up falling through. It's something to do with the second round draft pick was supposed to be for everyone knew they wanted a second rounder for me. Vancouver was, it was pretty fair. And they were trying to give them a second rounder from the following season instead of this year's draft. And they kind of just were dangling that, hoping they could get it down. And it ended up falling through, and then I had to kind of scramble last minute. So there's a lot more details for that, but that's the gist of it. And that's the business side of hockey, right? As much as you maybe get a couple of guarantees, and that's the one thing that upsetted me is I got a couple of guarantees there where, yeah, no, you're good, go ahead, and then, whoops, just kidding. So there's a lot of those stories that happen behind closed doors that people aren't really privy to.
What was the ultimate reason that you were willing to leave Vancouver? Because I remember you were quoted as saying, you know, I'm the type of guy that's going to go down with the ship. So how did that eventually change?
Well, the ship kind of kicked me off, though. That's the reason I left.
Okay, right, right, right. Yeah, yeah.
They made me walk the plank.
So right.
They said, listen, you can walk the plank now on your own terms, or you can walk the plank in one season or at trade deadline of the next season.
Gotcha.
Kind of thing. And I'm like, well, not trade deadline, kind of no move. But, you know, like as much as I wanted to go down with the ship, I also have a little bit of pride. And when, like, a team doesn't want you, like, I'm not going to be the guy that shows up to the rink every day. Like, hey, guys, you know, and
right,
really
right.
Deep down inside, you know, management's looking to build and to move on. Right. So, you know, and it was good for the team. The team got a second round draft pick and instead of losing me for nothing. And it was tough. Like, again, I didn't want to leave and I probably would have stayed there my whole career had they extended me. But at the end of the day, you got to have a little bit of pride, just like you guys. One day you guys are going to get kicked off this radio show probably in the next couple of years.
Probably.
And are you going to want to stay or are you going to fight to leave? Or are you going to fight to stay or are you just going to leave with your dignity?
Oh, God, please keep me.
I'm going to leave, but it won't be with any dignity.
Was that hard to hear, though? Because you're such – when I think of all the guys that have played for the Canucks, I don't know if there is one that is – more proud to have been a Vancouver Canuck. And some people might have taken that hard and might have left with a bit of an axe to grind, but you definitely don't have that.
No, I don't. No, it was hard. It was hard for sure. But I think it took me some time to realize that that's the way the business goes and that's the game. And it kind of makes sense, right? Kind of makes sense. Like, to some degree, like I still think when you're doing a rebuild, you need to keep some people around and to create a good culture and a good atmosphere. And they did that. They had Burrows and they had the Twins. And I think they had Hamuse for one more year and then he left and then Burrows ended up leaving. And it was, and just the Twins and Edler and Tanev, which was good. You know, you can't keep everybody, but, you know, it went 5 years without making the playoffs. So, you know, I still think you can do a rebuild without missing the playoffs for 5 years. Personally, that's my philosophy. But anyways, no hard feelings. And every time I've been back to Vancouver to watch a game for the Sedin's retirement, went to a few games before that when we were in town for minor hockey tournaments with my son, they rolled out the red carpet for me. So nothing but great feelings with the Canucks and that organization and all the people that work there.
Are you a California guy now? Is that your future?
I don't think I'll ever consider myself a California guy. Mm-hmm. I'm pretty proud that I'm a Canadian, right? So mm-hmm. like, whenever people talk to me and they don't really know who I am, and they're like, "Oh, like how long you been living here?" I'm like, "Oh, I'm Canadian though." So like, I've been staying here for the last 6 years, but I'm Canadian. Like I have my house and you know my cottage that I go back every summer for a couple months, and you know my family all lives in Canada. Like I'm still a Canadian. I'm proud of that. So. No, I don't think I'll ever consider myself a California guy, but guys, I'm telling you, like the weather is just ridiculous here.
Yeah.
Like you can't.
I know.
You don't even have to look at the weather app. Like you don't have to, and you know, in Vancouver every day, you're probably looking at the weather app. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, when's it going to rain this week? And it's like, oh, Monday, Wednesday, Thursday, Saturday, Sunday. And you're like, okay, can't go outside any of those days. Like I don't even look at the weather app. I know what the weather is going to be like every single day. If I want to golf last minute, I don't have to worry about it raining on me. Mm-hmm. Like the weather is just amazing. My dog is outside every day. So I'm sorry. I just cannot find a fault in the weather here.
Is the media your future or broadcasting? Well, media is such a dirty word. Broadcasting, is that your future? Because a lot of people have texted in to us, ask us questions. You should ask Kevin if he ever wants to get into management or coaching or maybe something else. Because there's a lot of speculation about you specifically with the new broadcast deals that have been thrown out down south.
Yeah, like I'm not going to plan my future, you know, 5-10 year plan right now. I think I'm a guy that's always liked projects, right? So I'm committed to the media right now or broadcasting with Hockey Night in Canada for the rest of the season and playoffs. And then we'll kind of see where I go from there and coaching. Been coaching minor hockey and running an academy for the last few years, and I really enjoy that. And I've always been intrigued by the management side of the game as well. So, I mean, I'm never going to really say no to anything. I'd like to try and see what I really like or what I really have a passion for. So since I retired, I haven't said no to a whole lot of opportunities that have come my way. And I got a couple more coming my way that I'm going to kind of dive into and get some experience and see what I like and see what I have my passion for sure. But especially while my kids are this age, they're mm-hmm. at a great age right now. Like I want to be around them as much as possible. So that's a bit of a priority for me.
Well, it's good to hear that you're doing well and that you're happy and that you have dignity and you've learned that we don't have any. So maybe that's why there's some chemistry forming here. Yeah. Yeah. Kevin, thanks for joining us today. We'll talk to you next Monday.
All right, if you guys are looking for a contrast, go give Kessler a call right now, and then you can see if he's happy right now.
Done. Thanks, Kevin. Appreciate it, bud.
All right, have a good week.
Yeah, you too. Thanks. That's Kevin Bieksa here on the Halford and Brough Show on Sportsnet 650. Always a good chat with KB3 here on the Halford and Brough Show, the Hal Burrow Show. We got to do what we learns next. There's a ton of things to get into over the last 72 hours in sports. Mike Weir won a golf tournament. Manchester United didn't play Liverpool. And none of the Vancouver sports teams won a game this weekend. It was not great. But there's lots more in addition to that. There was a video game injury in Major League Baseball that we haven't even touched on yet. It was a big weekend in the world of sports. Surely you in listener land have learned something. And if you have, hashtag your text WWL and send it to 650-650. That's the Dunbar Lumber text line. You're listening to the Halford and Brough Show on Sportsnet 650.
One day, you guys are going to get kicked off this radio show, probably in the next couple of years.
Probably.
And are you going to want to stay, or are you going to fight to leave, or are you going to fight to stay, or are you just going to leave with your dignity?
Oh God, please keep me.
I'm going to leave, but it won't be with any dignity. 8:31 on a Monday. Halford Brough, Sportsnet 650.
I like that BX assumed we have dignity.
When did dignity enter the equation?
Yeah.
Do you think he knows?
I have no other skills.
Do you think he knows that we're like 2.5 months removed from being fired from the radio? I doubt it.
Yeah.
He's like, one day you guys will lose your jobs. I'm like, missed the boat by a couple months there, Juice. Mm-hmm. that ship sailed. We were told to walk the plank already. It is Halford. It is Bruff. It is Sportsnet 650. We got to give Dom, Sleepy Dom, a couple kudos here. He did not get a good night's rest last night. He estimates about 2.5-3 hours sleep, which is tough. But he's getting a lot of plaudits for the intro today. But perhaps more importantly, Jason, have you seen how many people are very happy with the podcast situation?
No, I haven't.
Yeah.
Great. Why?
Dom, walk us through what's going on with the podcasts now. Because some people were a little irate last week that the listening experience wasn't the same as they had become accustomed to.
So after we had some multiple discussions with management about the podcast, what we have decided to do, and hopefully this can be implemented sooner rather than later, is we will have one set of podcasts that will be uploaded on Google and Apple. Mm-hmm. That is the full meal deal experience that you get live on Sportsnet 650. That'll be up on Apple and Google. Mm-hmm. And because of Spotify's rules where we can't have any sort of licensed music,
right,
you'll have a teared down, crappy version posted there if you really insist on listening on Spotify.
Let's not call it crappy. Let's call it just
light. Great, Alfred and Bruff light.
Great explanation. Didn't care for the adjectives.
Right.
But yeah, no, thanks for doing that. It's because people, there's been a few texts that have come in, and they're very excited that the podcast experience is back. And by the way, we understand that. Thank you again, Dom.
But I just want to say, I was just kidding. I will have like some non-licensed stuff that I will throw into Spotify. It'll sound great.
Or crappy, as he put it earlier.
Wild Side will be replaced by Crazy Side. An instrumental.
You're not wrong.
Yeah. But no, we understand the podcast experience is important for a lot of you who can't or won't wake up at 6 o'clock in the morning and listen to 3 hours of uninterrupted sports talk radio. Sometimes you want to get caught up. Sometimes you just don't have the time or the wherewithal to sit down and do this show from tip to tail. You want to try and listen to it. So the podcast, we understand it. It's important. We've made it a priority for us. We're pushing as much as we can. So it's great to hear when listeners get the full experience and get to listen to the show how they want to listen to the show. End of rant. Wasn't even really a rant. Please don't call the content crappy anymore. I would appreciate that.
Trying to be self-deprecating. It feels like it's part of the brand.
But it's our content, and you're the one calling it crappy.
You've done that before.
Do you understand the self and self-deprecating? Anyway.
Play the What We Learned music now.
You can't just do that. We were just in the middle of something.
Clutch was so much better at this.
Is he?
No.
Is he really?
No, he wasn't.
We're going to need a few things for this class.
Boring.
An eagerness to learn. A thirst for knowledge.
So, what did we learn in the last 24 hours?
When life gives you lemons, just say, the lemons and bail.
Wow, you sure know a lot of stuff.
It's great to learn.
Because knowledge is power.
Do you have one, or do you just want to go right to the humanoids?
I thought you had one.
I have one for Basketball Phil.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Why don't you start with that one?
So it's actually a humanoid one. Okay. Fire up the dot matrix. Now, a little spoiler alert for the What We Learned heads out there. This is a LeBron one. How close are we on the LeBron audio? Not even close?
Not even close.
Right on. Okay. I'll do it myself. You know what? I'll do it live. The Los Angeles Lakers season is in a tailspin. Mm-hmm. It's a disaster right now.
What is going on?
Injuries.
Right.
AD was gone for an awfully long time. LeBron gone for an awfully long time. Both back in the lineup now.
Yeah, that's why I'm asking.
But LeBron exited yesterday's loss to the Raptors, the Toronto Raptors, the plucky Toronto Raptors, with an aggravated ankle injury. Now, where it sits currently for the defending NBA champions is that they are not yet in the play-in tournament. For those that don't know, yes, the NBA play-in tournament is back and alive. So what happens is, top six, not top eight, go directly to the playoffs. Teams 7 through 10 go into a mini playoff tournament. So 8 and 9 play each other once.
No, I don't think that's the way it is. It's 7 versus 8.
7 versus 8 and then 9 versus 10.
Right.
The winner of 9 versus 10 has to beat the winner of 7 versus 8 twice.
The loser.
Right.
No.
The loser.
Yes.
The math. Anyway. The point being is that 7, 8, 9, 10 go into a mini 4-team play-in tournament. Right now, the Lakers sit in 6th on a tiebreak ahead of Portland, but both are on identical records. The Lakers, should this slide continue, would go from being the defending NBA champions to having to grind their way in to get into the playoffs. Now, I play this because a lot of people are hammering away at LeBron saying the only reason he's complaining is because his team stinks now. If his team didn't stink and wasn't in this situation, he wouldn't have thoughts about the play-in tournament. However, he's not the first superstar to do this. Luka Doncic of the Mavericks, who, by the way, are right on that bar as well, tied with record in record with the Lakers. Luka Doncic has also complained about the play-in tournament. LeBron, when asked about his thoughts of the Lakers potentially going into the play-in, this is what he had to say.
And, you know, if this happens to we end up at 6th or 5th or whatever the case may be, or if we end up in a, you know, the playoff, whatever that need to be fired. But whatever.
In case you missed it, it was whoever made that bleep has got to be fired.
Yeah.
To the humanoids, Jason. To the humanoids.
Table saw, James, what we learned. The Drancer hitting all the innuendo interview was exactly what we needed after the weekend in the local sports market. Feed.
My goodness. Anyway.
Yeah. It's the other one that was the killer.
Maybe the Nets could have got it done if they'd come really hot, really fast.
Good Lord.
Yeah. We need to laugh. And then he just completely got so rattled that he couldn't even get through the rest of the interview.
Hold on. When you lube that meat? It's easier to put in your mouth.
Yikes.
See, there was a bit of intent there when I said that. I kind of knew where I was going with the lubricated meat line. Can I hear the one about the Canucks coming hot and fast?
You know, maybe the Canucks could have got it done if they'd come really hot, really fast.
How? How does that sequence of words pop into one's mind without even the slightest acknowledgement of what he said?
No, he did acknowledge it, didn't he?
Not until way later.
There's like 3 or 4 of them. He just kept on going. It was brilliant.
It was.
It wasn't intentional, though. Trey and Victoria, what we learned, the Nikita Triamkin saga is over, and it is dragged on for 5 more years than necessary. Yep.
It is
hilarious that Triamkin left, and we've talked about it, the possible return of Nikita Triamkin, and ultimately it's just going to end in a big old nothing. Right?
Nothing.
Yeah.
How much time trade his rights and effort? How many times have we talked to Todd Diamond? It's been at least twice.
Mm-hmm.
Do you realize that we've spent 2 full segments, I think, in our radio lives talking to the agent of a player who is not going to sign here and hasn't been relevant for 4 years?
Do you think Todd Diamond has a pinky ring?
Yes.
It's called a panky ring, by the way.
It's called a what?
Panky ring.
Okay. There's A's instead of I's?
Yeah, you can't say a pinky ring.
I'd like to think so.
If you want to get with the Utes.
I'd like to think that he has some of the jewelry that Adam Sandler had in Uncut Gems.
Yeah, that's what I think about. What I don't know why Uncut Gems is on my mind. But I feel like Toddy Diamond.
Toddy D.
No, I've never seen it. No, I've never seen it. Too stressful.
You were thinking about it. That's what the tweet was about. Okay.
I was told you're a cinephile, and now I find you haven't seen it.
I don't like to be stressed out when I watch a movie.
I don't know if Uncut Gems is the bar for being a cinephile or not.
Mm-hmm. Well, but I think it's
popular.
Well, yeah. I do think it is because I think there's a lot of people that will call it brilliant, and then other people will call it a waste of time. So if you're a cinephile, you at least have an opinion on it, right?
Got it.
I don't like super stressful movies.
Mm.
You know what I found? Like, for example, The Deer Hunter.
Too stressful.
I guess that was the 1970s. Man, that was a stressful movie.
You mean given the large portions of film dedicated to Russian roulette? Yes, that would be.
I found Apocalypse Now very stressful too. Yeah. Those long 1970s, super, super dark, weird, mostly Vietnam movies, I would suppose.
Oh, so you're not a fan of Platoon then, either?
Platoon was rated G Vietnam stuff. Come on.
The Deer Hunter. So
The Deer Hunter was, I've seen it multiple times. It is a brilliant movie, but man, it's dark.
The wedding scene in Deer Hunter. I remember we were in Pittsburgh and we were at the hotel bar and there was a wedding going on next door and it was all like aggressively overweight Polish dudes in suspenders, and I'm like, oh my god, we're in the Deer Hunter.
We're in the Deer Hunter. Yeah.
It was amazing. They were all drinking just like full glasses of straight alcohol.
Are we getting shipped out tomorrow? Are we going hunting tonight?
That was it. People, there was chairs being. It was great. Authentically Pittsburgh.
You know what stressed me out about that movie is how they went hunting with so little preparation.
It's true. Just go
like
hunt.
They were wearing their tuxes to go hunt. That's someone how you do forgot it. His boots, right?
That's how you do it. We've got one here. That's how you do it. We've got one here. New friend of the program, Bodie from Burgerland.
Oh,
our good buddy.
Yes.
We'll read it first. Hashtag WWL, what we learned. The Sad Club commish was on brand with his State of the Canucks tire fire take this morning, and I'm here for it. So, one, I think you very well were. Two, Bodie, his new startup is Burgerland Smash Up. Mm-hmm. We got kits delivered to us this weekend. It is like a home meal food prep kit for burgers.
Yeah.
Buns.
I'm going to make it tonight.
Buns, mm-hmm. condiments, ground beef, everything, all in a box delivered to your door. So I made it on Saturday. And not kidding, like Smash Up is you literally have to take this ball of ground beef, put it on a searing hot skillet, mm-hmm. and then smash it down to pancake-like thinness.
Am I going to be able to use my griddle?
You are. I use the griddle. I use an electric griddle.
Like a pancake griddle or?
The griddler.
Right.
Yes. Trademark. Hashtag griddler.
Griddle me this.
You know what? When we eventually start up, Dom, do you know the history of griddle me this?
No.
Jason has two ideas. By the way, check out, it's Burgerland Smash Up. It's on Instagram. There's a website as well. Jason has two great ideas for a bar, one for a bar and one for a restaurant. The restaurant is called Griddle Me This, and it's just breakfast. And then there's going to be a griddle at every table, mm-hmm. and the chef's going to come by and griddle your breakfast, Benihana style, right in front of you.
Sounds good.
The second.
Okay. It doesn't sound good based on the way you just said that. Yeah. Sounds good.
It's like going to the beach.
Yeah.
It was good.
Show some enthusiasm, damn it. Secondly, a bar just called drinks.
Mm-hmm.
So when you say, what do you do?
Yeah.
He loves it.
Trying to keep a straight face.
When you say, what are you doing tonight?
We're going to drinks.
And then what are you doing at drinks?
Drinking.
Getting drinks.
Or sometimes, like, if there's a big lineup at Griddle Me This, the hostess or host would say, well, while you're waiting, why don't you go have some drinks at drinks?
Thoughts?
I don't have the energy to deal with this right now.
Rob in Surrey, what I've learned after 30-ish years as a Canucks fan is that I never learn as a Canucks fan. They will always find a way to disappoint after it appears they have turned the corner, i.e. the bubble last summer and two great wins against the Leafs after the COVID outbreak.
Yeah. See, this is what when I see people text in, they're like, I'm done or I'm switching allegiances. This is what always – I come back to text
ridiculous.
Like this.
Come on.
Like part of the experience is all this stuff, mm-hmm. right?
That's why Shawshank Redemption was a great movie, you know? Mm-hmm. Went through a lot, and finally...
Got to go through some hard times.
Ended up in Zihuatanejo.
Brian, spit on me. Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, worse
now
things,
tell me I'm scum.
Worse things happened than getting spat on in Shawshank. I tell
it's
you
true.
How much. It's Alvin and Bruff show. Although the spitting might have been. Anyway.
Might have helped.
Alfred and Bruff show, Sportsnet 650.
No mean feet, my goodness. Anyway.
Dude, we're both tall, skinny, so we've got pretty big feet, but...
8:49 on a Monday. Halford, tall, skinny, Sportsnet 650. A lot of people are into the restaurant ideas. We have good ideas, Bruff and I, but we weren't sure about Dom's chops when it came to the startup restaurant and bar game. But then... what he came up with at the break, we were both like,
I don't think he came up with it at the break. It sounds like he's been mulling this for a while.
I have for 10 years.
Are you ready to put it out there?
My idea is griddle me this. What's your idea?
I'm a big fan of the Vietnamese noodle soup known as pho or pho in some circles.
Uh-huh.
And I want to open a restaurant in the greater Vancouver area called 6 O Pho.
Wow. That's really good.
And then if it goes well, you could expand to Toronto and call it Faux 16.
Oh, my gosh, yes.
You'd be very limited, actually, in your expansions.
That's okay. We'd be niche. We'd be niche.
Yeah.
Very focused.
You could go to Boston and be like, number Faux, Bobby Orst or something. I don't know.
That's yeah. lame.
We got to stop
it. It is. But I'm just thinking about expansion.
Bobby Orst Faux. It's a niche market.
Number Faux, yeah. Bobby O.
Yeah, it's a niche market, but God bless them. They're trying. Someone asked.
Maybe we'll name a Faux after Bobby Orr. Just call it the Faux.
We can stop anytime. I think everyone understands that the number four sounds is like the pun. Faux. I think everyone gets it.
All right.
Hold on. Someone wants to know, with Jason's bar called Drinks, which is great. What are you doing tonight? Going for drinks. Where? Drinks. You're going to be the hottest marketed bar on the planet. Someone wants to know, is there food at Drinks? No. It's called Drinks. Actually, what happens is the staff at Drinks gets upset and irate with you if you ask that question. Mm-hmm. They actually say, read the sign.
Yeah.
Don't make me tap it.
Sign you want food? Drink. You go to Griddle Me This.
Right, our sister restaurant.
Actually, a lot of people end up getting so wasted at Drinks. They're like, you know, I need some breakfast.
Right? 24-hour, Griddle Me This. Mm-hmm. Or you can go to 604. What do you think, Dom? We could have a restaurant empire here.
Sounds good.
We all know this radio thing's not going to last. We may as well get on the restaurant train. Let's do a quick crossover with Scotty now. The Surtool show is up next. Scotty Rintoul joins us now. What up, Scotty?
All good. Always a pleasure to connect with the Half Bro show.
Thank you, man. We appreciate it. Yeah, Half Bro. Someone else said that the other day.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, you know, half my name is H-A-L-F.
But what's the pun, though? Like, there has to be a meaning to it.
Full Bro and Half Bro, I suppose.
But Full Bro isn't really a thing, isn't it? Not to rain on your parade there, Scotty.
Well, you've not talked about nuclear families in your life? Like, you can have a half brother, right?
Oh, man. That's it.
But yeah, but why? Like that?
You call it the Step Bro Show if you want.
I mean, Surtool is such a reach that this actually feels right.
Right. What other options do we have here with the surname mashup? Well, one do you guys prefer? I just went with Surtool because it's just the first thing that popped into my head.
It's
I don't
worst.
Know, but I'm disappointed because you guys are so creative that it's really beneath you to go to that.
Well, you know where it came from was someone when we were on vacation at 10:40.
Vacation, I love it.
No, this is before we got fired.
Oh, okay.
Before we had our permanent vacation, we had a temporary vacation.
And this business, you got to specify.
Yeah, right. And they had Andrew Wadden and Karen Sermon guest hosted for us. And someone said, and they texted in, they're like, I really enjoyed the Sir Wad show last week.
Oh, God.
And I lost it on the air. I'm like, perfect. So that's where I got the inspiration for Surtool. But if we can come up with something different.
Yeah, someone you guys are better than this.
Someone said Surtool it is.
Someone said the Rinser show. I was like, that could work too. Anyway, I digress. I'm ruining all of our crossover goodness here, Scott.
Scotty, I have a question for you. Between the two fan bases, Flames and Canucks, which one is the most frustrated right now?
With the season, the Flames. With the state of the franchise, the Canucks. Because in Vancouver, there is an element of frustration with every level of the organization. In Calgary, it's narrower focus. There are still more people on the, okay, management gets one more chance here in Calgary. There's some that are calling for change at that level as well. But in Vancouver, it ranges everywhere from ownership all the way to the roster.
What's coming up on the program today, Scotty?
Yeah, we got David Amber coming up today, Donovan Bennett, G. Roy Simon. A little potpourri for you.
Very nice. Enjoy it. We got to get out of here. Have a good show today, though, bud. We'll talk to you
Have
tomorrow.
Have a good vacation until tomorrow.
Yeah, thanks, man. We got one of those 24-hour vacations.
Thanks, Rinty.
Thanks. It is Scotty Rintoul. It is Karen Sermon. They're up next on Sportsnet 650. We have been Halford and Brough, and now we got to get out of here. It's been fun. We'll be back tomorrow. Signing off. I have been Mike Halford. He has been Jason Brough. He's been Nephew Dom. This has been the Halford and Brough Show on Sportsnet 650.